This is a production of Cornell University.
Student Assembly Meeting,
Thank you very much, Hans. Any questions for Mike? Or move on. So you'll have, you said you'll post those online, you said?
Yeah. Yes. I was going to put it on the website.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate your work on that. We have a dining announcement by VP Mezzi.
For the SA members, just I have some meal tickets. If you're not on a meal plan, I have a few, not enough for everybody, but I have a few meal tickets where you can go get a free meal, essentially, to check it out and then just provide us with some feedback is all we're asking to do. So if you'd like that and you're not on a Cornell dining meal plan, come see me afterwards and I have a meal voucher that I can give you. And then we just ask for you to send me an email with your feedback on your experience. But that's it.
Hey, thanks, Greg. Any questions for Greg? All right. VP Basil has an announcement.
Yeah, I just want to congratulate Ryan on receiving the Distinguished Leadership Award, the SOAR Award, last night. Michael McDermott, Director of Elections, also received an award for Distinguished Leadership for Class Council. So kudos to Ryan and Mike.
Thanks, David. Yeah.
Representative Salem, SUNY SA announcement.
So, over this past weekend, Matt Bender and myself went to the SUNY SA biennial conference. They have their own election process. We elected the executive board, as well as discussed some bylaw changes in their charter, and we talked about the amnesty initiative and which they decided to support, and as student with Bill of Rights. And also, we managed, although this is our first time attending, to get one of our own delegates, Matt Danza, was elected to be the upstate ag tech rep. He's going to have monthly meetings and he should be here updating us on anything for today.
Thanks, Remy. I'm just happy I don't get emails from them anymore. Any questions for Remy? Great. Any further announcements or reports before we move on? Oh, sorry. Oh, it's not on? Hello? Everyone, make sure your mics are switched on.
This one's a little funky.
Oh, mine's
a little funky.
All right, well, I'll just have to speak louder. Any further announcements or reports? No. All set. Business of the day.
I'd like the motion that we move the unnumbered resolution, which I guess would be R43, the Panhellenic Council and Committee on Women's Issues, to business of the day.
Where?
To wherever the chair sees fit.
There's been a motion to move resolution.
What's the number?
It would be 43.
Resolution 43.
What's the title?
Panhellenic Council and Committee on Women's Issues, the business of the day. Is there any dissent? See no dissent. It will go after resolution 41. Moving on, Resolution 39, changes to SAFC guidelines. Representative Diakow as co-chairs, Yulia and Varun. Co-chairs of the SAFC, that is. All right, guys, you have 10 minutes. Sorry? Yes, that'd be great. Yeah, yeah.
The first section to the change of communication requirements, we would include alumni members from crowdfunding to consented for funding eligibility. The second change is we come up with a new clause. I'll read it out loud. The organization must meet all eligibility requirements by the hard copy application submission deadline. The commission may not accept
that have not met the eligibility requirements. So that's what you can follow, but it's just explicitly stated. Okay. Sure. And the next substantive change is we clarify our definition for what we consider to be a new applicant. Previously, the new applicant was defined as someone who did not receive funding in their previous semester, and now we're through new applicant is someone who did not apply. If you apply and you're not receiving funding, the next semester you need returning. And I can read the new language. For the purposes of this section, an organization is considered to have applied for funding to successfully submit its application on that. A new applicant is an organization that has not applied for funding in previous consecutive funding cycles. The second semester applicant is an applicant that has applied for funding in at least one of the two previous two semesters, and the new applicant will not apply for funding. All other applicants are considered returning.
The next section talks about specific limitations for new applicants. The first rule is that you stated we have to rule the top. The new applicant may receive the maximum for $500 for funding, and the second semester applicant may receive the maximum for allocation of $1,000. The next section is new, and it has to do with co-organized events if new applicants are involved. I'll read it as it is stated. If none of the organizations that are party to the application are returning applicants, the commission will award a maximum of $1,000 to all organizations and new applicants, $1,500 to only one organization is a second semester applicant, $2,000 if more than one organization is a second semester applicant, and it basically follows the logic of having first semester organization get $500 to one name, and the second semester organization is $1,000. Is there any question on anything in the
document? You all set? You're good? No. There's a policy question. No, I would go through everything and we'll have questions at the end. Yeah.
Such as submission before there's no set deadline.
One important change, something that we moved from the handbook, is that in the continued section for project expenses, we no longer require that the funds for documents be used for documents and credits for services of circulation. We can small cap on the category. The next substance change is at the bottom of the page. It's on section 9.3.3.2, titled transportation expenses. It includes basically we just clarify for the applicant that whether they're, that they included in their application documentation of airfare costs in addition to the proof of travel distance, which is MapQuest documentation, the funding is required for air travel. We just clarify that.
5 minutes.
So the next change you made, we just, we've always required that group submit proof of port access, get an approval for movies that don't have standards, and we just explicitly stated what that is. I'll let everybody know if the director of Cornell Cinema or WD is taking tenant approval for the event. And the next major change is in section 9.4.2, to be eligible for funding, local events for travel expenses. That must be located outside of the control limits of Thompson County, New York. This is something that we had in the government in the past, but got dropped out in New York 3 months ago, a year ago. And that's mainly there to ensure that people don't keep funding for every time they like, travel on campus.
Another change is in the section 9.4.2. It's the travel event request. We have created a form to make it easier for teams that are traveling and need more than four of their members to come to fill out a standard form instead of having to provide a letter that varies from group to group. The next section to change is in the durable gift section, 9.5.1. We have to increase the definition of what can be acceptable under the durable goods funding category. The Convention on Consumer Goods that are typically used repeatedly over a period of years and are able to produce without significant deterioration or are necessary for a group purpose, and this is based on some of the petitions and appeals we have received on that.
Lastly, in section 9.3.3, we should also funding publications of now be printed and distributed in the same semester for responding to questions. And we added that because sometimes it's really worth it since we're a group applying for funding for publication but never distributed the publication.
Okay, all set. Thank you very much, SAFC, for presenting the guidelines. First on the speaker's list is Representative Salem.
So for the limitations for new applicants, if one of the organizations is returning, how much money would they be eligible for?
Can you clarify in terms of organizations
that
are
using
the third semester?
More than
if one of the one or more of the groups that are medical funding and managing the returning group, then they are not subject to those limitations. They just be subject to the normal cap and stuff like that. All groups.
Liaison Miller. Alan. Liaison, yep, you're up.
Okay. I think most of these changes are great. I think it really clarifies a lot of the problems that a lot of the situations that there was last year. I really like the change.
Okay, all right. Representative Andrews.
Do you have a question on 9.4.2? I was wondering, so would this, let's say if an organization wanted to hire a bus from Cornell to go to an event in like a college or something, would that restrict that? So this is putting it back in the rule.
This was something that was there for a year, and it got on to the beginning of the change about a year ago, a year and a half ago, and it got dropped out.
VP Basil.
Yeah, I think these are great. Everything a lot in here I recognize as, issues that have come up during appeals, and particularly the travel request for club sports, I think is going to make things a lot easier. So I call the question.
A second.
I'm going to call the question. There's a second. Is there any dissent? Okay, seeing no dissent, the clerk, please call the roll.
Yes.
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 Not here.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. Okay, great. Guidelines passed. Thank you very much, SAFC.
Not today.
Tony.
Moving on, Resolution 40, approving SAFC member and officer announcements. VP Miller, co-chairs, Yulia and Balloon. Everyone has it in front of you, right? Call for acclamation.
Second.
Is there any dissent? No. Let's give a little round of applause to Grun and any other SAC commissioners. Thanks, guys. All set. Thank you. You know what? Actually, just in an effort to not have other resolutions wait in anticipating Resolution 41 taking a little longer, I'm going to move Resolution 43 to right now. Resolution 43, you'll tell us what it is when you get up there. Can you all please state your name and year for the record, and you have 5 minutes. Great. Thanks a lot, guys. Speakers list is now open. Representative Salem.
Call for acclamation.
Call for acclamation.
The charter change is going to be a vote.
This is a bylaw change. Going to call for acclamation.
Second.
Second. Any dissent? Dissent. 30 seconds to explain.
Information, I guess. we need to increase the number of everyone, can we just have one of those? Because as the city gets bigger and bigger, it's already hard to staff. It gets more ineffective and hard to find people, so I can't just do one of those.
Okay, so you have something, you have another issue you'd like. All right, I'm going to ignore the call for acclamation. I'm putting you on the speaker's list. Next, we have Liaison Miller.
I think this is a great resolution, especially in what you said, Tony, about it. My only question is the representative from the e-board panel or the e-board going to, I guess, the president?
It's
going to
be a desire to have the executive board and the executive board
Representative Kumar.
Yeah, I think it's a great resolution. Definitely supportive, and I'll yield to Representative.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm in support of it as well. I don't think you're wrong idea. I was just curious again why you wanted to increase all the numbers and not just make one of those specifically appointed.
That's not bad. I really
of all people, so you need to increase.
So I would be opposed that I just didn't know. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. So I will remove the word 15 and replace it with 14.
Okay, so there's been a motion amendment that's been found from the sponsors.
Change 9 to 8?
So the first be it therefore resolved clause, that last sentence is... Okay. So now, this resolution, after the whereas clause has just had the last be it further resolved clause, is that start with bylaw 7.8A2 include the addition of, etc. Is everyone clear on that? Okay, and they found it friendly.
Call
for acclamation. Is there a second?
Sorry.
Any dissent? Okay, thank you very much. Okay, resolution 41, resolution against discrimination within student organizations. VP Junowitz, Representative Shannon, community member Donahue, and Representative Craig. There should be anyone in the audience that would like copies of the resolution. They should be at the table there.
All right, I'm going to get
Assembly members and anyone else who's seen this resolution, please note this is new as of 4 o'clock today. So this is not what has been sent out over email or anything else. This is a new resolution. It's edited. Oh, right. So we will allow community members to speak on this resolution. I'm going to have... the speakers list will be as follows: SA member, community member, SA member, community member. So every three. Chris Basil over there is raising his hand. We'll have a sign-up sheet if community members would like to speak. Just go over to Chris and sign up, and then he'll call your name when you're good to go. Do you have a question, Asa?
Yeah, before we begin, the sponsors like to check the last
resolution 41. The last be it therefore resolved is stricken. Okay, thank you. Okay, the sponsors of the resolution have 5 minutes.
Basically, we're going to send the resolution to you. We're going to pass it to Michael Smith, who was in the same situation. And we go from there and go through the resolution.
Hi there. So this resolution really is generated to not to limit the rights of an organization, IALPA, their rights to believe different things and to act out on those beliefs, but more to represent the voice of the student body here. And SAFC funding and funding through the SAFC is definitely a way that the students are the group is receiving funding through this group, and I think the SAFC has an obligation to represent the voice of the students. But I think the voice of the students, hopefully the outcome would be that what happens with IALPA and with me is an act of discrimination. It's very personal on a personal level. And I know that I think there's a lot of support through email and in person and through the sun has a real outside support on my behalf. And I think that this resolution is really aimed to harness the voice of the students and say that we don't necessarily want our money to go to an organization
Thank you very much to the sponsors of the resolution. Because this is now open, I do want to reread, well, I want to reiterate the last be it therefore resolved clause for anyone in the audience or anyone who has the resolution in front of them has been stricken. And I'm going to reread one of the be it therefore resolved clauses The second and last one, that the Student Assembly endorses the Student Assembly Finance Commission's decision to temporarily suspend Chi Alpha Christian Fellowship's funds due to a suspected violation of the requirements necessary to receive and spend SHC funding. This morning, the SHC has exercised their right or duty to do that. And so they have notified the group, and their funds have been suspended. I believe it is 10 days. Ari, can you confirm that? 10 business days, so just so you all have the history and understand that. Okay, first on the speaker's list is Representative Salem.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I wholeheartedly support this resolution. I feel that, you know, had it been the case that, you know, if students were asked to leave a position because he was black or if he was, you know, Jewish or something, the whole campus would have been in an uproar over, you know, racist or anti-Semitic discrimination. I feel like this is no exception. And yeah, Eric, you were spot on by saying, you know, if they had not been affiliated before now, you know, then the situation would have been difficult because money is involved and they do have to increase university guidelines and principles. I had a few questions. Okay, so the temporary suspension is for 10 days, but then where does the suspension for the next semester fall into?
Well, that would depend on what happens with the investigation that we're hoping to have happened. So,
if the investigation was to find Chi Alpha in violation, then you'd extend it to the next
year. Well, yes, but I guess your question on our part is saying that we didn't necessarily want to go ahead and immediately, you know, suspend the building this larger funding next semester, but if the investigation comes back that they are necessarily in violation of the policy, but soon that they would have to show that they aren't next semester in order to apply for the same thing that would happen. So we're going to let that go over investigation and then go from there.
Point of inquiry, point of information. If, by SFC procedure, if this doesn't pass, what happens after 10 days?
The suspension is lifted. Next on the speaker's list, Representative Smith.
The great resolution is why.
I'm confused as to like what would the investigation entail, like what, how would it work? If any of the co-chairs would like to be at any point, you're welcome to. I'll recognize you. Are you yielding to them?
Yeah, we need a time for them so that they can explain what they did in terms of the investigation policy.
And
I think so, and then just to add to that point of information,
so, you know, even if this resolution doesn't pass, the SAC is doing, they've made their decision to suspend and they're going to do whatever due process they do. I will note that you all have probably read that last be it therefore resolved clause, not the one that's been stricken. The Student Activities Office is already in pursuit of their due process, their investigation as well. So keep that in mind.
But by invoking our right to suspend funds, we're not essentially saying that the office is
Thank you. Representative Garcia by name. Oh, that's two. I'm sorry. My apologies. We're going to a community member, then we'll go right to you. First community member. Please state your name and year for the record.
I also seem to be saying that homosexuality is fixed up is what they have an issue with, and they have no problem with homosexuals themselves. But if you will look at any legitimate medical opinion, the American Medical Association, the American Psychological Association, American Academy of Pediatrics, no one seems to think that homosexuality is actually a choice. And so the distinction between homosexuality and homosexuals is in fact false. A judgment that this is making on the morality of individuals and the morality that is inherent in the person. And while I do represent Shannon, that it is very important that you do not limit rights or freedom of expression on campus, I think that it is also essential that you do not sanction this reprehensible behavior and allow other students and specific organizations to enforce their beliefs on others and to judge the value of individuals on campus.
Okay, thank you. Garcia Verdin. Are you making an amendment or just making a statement? Okay. Thank you. P.P. Miller.
So I have a couple of questions to the group. Firstly, is there a formal process in the Chi Alpha Society to formally remove a member of its leadership?
Yeah, so I guess you have to. And I say member.
Two member. I mean, I don't know if this gentleman was no, you were a member. I don't know if you know currently.
I don't.
I'm sorry.
The way that leadership works in general is that you apply to your master's degree members who are ambassadors. They're not students or faculty staff at Cornell. They determine whether or not you're allowed to be on the leadership team, and they are the people who ask you specifically to step down. They did not consult the rest of the students in the group or the leadership team in the group before asking you to step down. So I think it's more of an informal process.
Secondly, I would like to point out that if this, I think we already have procedures in SASC to examine violations of the group. The SASC has invoked its right to suspend for 10 days. They also have the right in the future to do an in-house investigation as to suspected violations. I understand this amendment moves it up to the SAO. I am a believer that we already have a process set. We should probably stick to that and let the SASC do what it does. And, you know, I urge them to do it on their own term. Also, I want to speak to some of the other sentiments that are going on. I worry groups ought to have the right to choose their leadership in any way they fit. What I would recommend that this group does is formally adopt a process, much like we have on the student assembly and many other RSOs do, to formally choose their leaders and to formally remove their leadership from, you know, from those positions. I expect that the group ought to do that in the near future so that this situation doesn't arise again. I don't feel it's appropriate to remove their funding because, you know, they were there for exercising what they believe and in terms of their leadership. So they did not remove you from the group, did they?
No, they did not remove the group from the leadership.
So as any group has the right to select its leaders as they want their leaders to embody the values they think fit, I think that a group has the right to do that. And so long as they didn't remove you from their membership, I think it's foolish to remove their funding.
Community member.
I just want to clarify two things. First of all, Matt and Jason Herman are staff. They're my contact panel, which you've done today, affiliated/staff on them. So they are officially affiliated with URW. They are chaplains under the URW. And as such, they act in a greater capacity than and would they were simply advisors to the group the way they faculty advisor would to the club. The issue here is not, I don't believe a bias so much as, like you said, a conviction. Our group is founded on the principles of the Bible, and we believe officially have to believe that the Bible will state that homosexuality is wrong. And we do not discriminate against the people who are homosexual. On leadership for 2 years when Matt Gracie and other good terms of leadership knew that was the case. And the decision was only made to actually step down after he decided that what the organization believed the Bible said was wrong was right. And it doesn't make sense to have someone who does not believe, you know, with your maintenance of faith teaching other people in your group.
1 minute.
I just want to speak towards Gary mentioned a specific issue about immorality of individuals, and I don't agree with that at all. We don't base our convictions on, you know, our ideas, stuff that we come up with at all, simply based. Like you said, there is no formal process to remove people from leadership. There is a formal process for being admitted on the leadership team. Like you said, there's an application which actually involves a statement that, you know, I agree to the belief of Chi Alpha and the belief that is given in the Bible that we all find in the and I have absolutely no problem with setting up a sort of formal process for removing people or having people from leadership if that is necessary.
Thank you. Representative Stein.
Hi. So the first thing I just want to say is that I don't feel that this is so much an issue of what's right, what's wrong, what's moral, what's not. It's a matter of there's a group that exists for a specific purpose, and that purpose is to promote Christian values and promote their ideals. And I do feel that the group should have their own sort of discretion in choosing their e-board and the people who promote that. Specifically, if they feel that someone has stepped up and, you know, spoken out against those rules. That being said, there are a lot of other organizations that act in an offensive and inappropriate and discriminatory manner on this campus, organizations that offend me personally as well as other people. But at the same time, we don't take their funding away. We give them funding for this program. And I think that what we need to do here is one of two things. We either need to establish a mechanism for punishing these groups and say that, you know, no one can offend another protected class or no one can offend another, you know, group. And either that or we need to not treat this group any differently than the others. But what we need is we need to be consistent and we need to figure out how we're going to take care of it. Because I know that my student activity fee goes to a lot of organizations that I have plenty of problems with, organizations that offend me religiously, etc. But at the same time, these organizations get funding, and so I feel like it's wrong to some degree for us to step in and say who you can have teaching people your ideals. And if that person has stepped out and possibly is supposed to try them and say that they disagree with those ideals and they disagree with your group, then I think that we need to leave the group with their own discretion. That being said, if there is an investigation and the results of the investigation are extremely negative, I think that we can take another look at this resolution. But putting this resolution forward and assuming that we know what the investigation will come out with is in itself a little bit hypocritical.
Point of information.
Can you use the button?
Yes, yes. Whatever you
A couple of things. No, you said that we should make a decision. No other group has been brought to the student assembly on those sort of charges. I feel as though if there's a group that you know is in the university regulations, it should be your duty to bring them to us if they get into student funding. So I don't feel as though we should vote just because, oh, there's a group out there that knows to break the rule. Second, you mentioned that, oh, there are tons of groups that offend you. I think there's a difference between offending someone, you know, based on what I believe and ordering someone to do something based on something that's breaking the university policy. So I'd like you to really think about that. In terms of, you know, being challenged in your beliefs and having someone else include them. Is there anything else to say in response to this?
Representative Kumar.
So, first of all, I want to thank everybody who's spoken.
So I want to thank you for that and give us your perspective about this resolution. I think, you know, certainly groups have discretion by choosing their leadership. I don't think groups have discretion in terms of following or conforming to university policy that governs university organizations. I am in complete support of this resolution. I think, as it's been said, it does, it doesn't jump to conclusions about the investigation. All it does is calls for an investigation about potential violations that I support, and also supports the idea of generally suspending the funds. Obviously, you know, any permanent revocation of funding would be dependent on the investigation. So it doesn't jump to any conclusions as a result of the investigation. I also just want to commend the SJC for acting so quickly in response to this.
1 minute.
Temporarily suspending the funding and then carrying through the investigation. So on that point, I want to call this question.
I'm going to call the question. There's a second.
Dissent.
There's dissent. 30 seconds. Explain your dissent.
I'm looking at your speakers list here. There seem to be a number of people who want to express their opinions on this. And there's also some procedural questions that I feel members have.
I'm going to ignore the motion.
Point of information.
Point of information.
This is, you might know this, the SAFC, after their suspension, if a group rectifies what they believe the violation was, can the suspension be lifted in the same semester? Mainly to the SAC. If the group is found in violation of a rule, are they given time to rectify the situation and then receive funding again? Or is it just revoked for the semester and that's it?
I think they made that clear, but they don't want it.
It's pretty open-ended, but I just wanted to clarify something that I think you represented at the time. I don't really, is that your name? I'm sorry. The SAC only funds groups that meet our eligibility requirements, and I don't remember the way it was said, but one of them is to be standing with the student committee's office. Being a standing with the student committee's office means following university policy. So this isn't a question of choice, it's a question of a requirement that the SAC will not fund you if you don't follow through with that. Another non-choice of the matter is signing the statement of conduct and also following through with that statement, which explicitly states, once again, following university policy. And to answer your question, Tony, basically, it's open-ended. If we find that the group is possible for the group to continue acting in that way, then it's possible for them not to be funded in the future. That's an option for 1 year. And then if we find that there's a possibility for them to be suspended at university, then we can lift that temporary revocation fund. But again, our results would have to be based on investigation.
Point of information.
How does the Cornell United Religious Works Covenant and University Policy, when a decision is made on religious doctrine, how are those two viewed? I don't know if that's something that maybe Dean Hubble can answer.
I would yield this to either Ari or Dean Hubble. Dean Hubble.
Dean Hubble is.
What do you imagine? I appreciate all the discussions. This is a pretty complicated issue, and I welcome an investigation. It will involve a discussion with student activities office around the independent organization rules and guidelines. It will also involve discussing CRW, the affiliates, and the covenants that govern the affiliates of the Cornell United Religious Works. And of course, as you know, we don't discriminate at university policy, and so that our overarching policy that our affiliates have also actually have. I believe that we should work diligently and quickly so that doesn't have to happen again.
Yes.
So, the statement of ethics and then also management requirements. So if there's a revocation of permanent revocation of funding, do just one of the, like, they have to be found about it, just one defender or both?
Julia? Yes?
Do they have to be found in violation like of eligibility requirements and that go or
will
you be
okay. VP Basil,
community member.
Oh yes, community member. Scott.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Tom Turner. I'm a senior and I'm serving as treasurer for Kappa. There's just some points that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, Christopher, and he admitted himself that he came out of the class several years ago and for us served as leadership and was in communication with people on leadership about what was going on with him personally. The reason he was asked to step down had nothing to do with his sexual orientation, had to do with his choice to change his beliefs regarding that sexual orientation, which was a direct conflict with Kappa's view, Kappa's beliefs, which are governed by Kappa nationally, and above that, the Assembly of God Church. You had asked us about the formal process of a unique individual. We do not have it yet. We are still a new organization. We've only been structured this way for the past 2 years. But I do want to say that this is not a sudden decision. Christopher has been in communication with our pastors for quite a while. They had come to an understanding that if he chose to pursue this route, that he would have to be asked to step down. He understood that fully, and he approached us this summer knowing that fully and knowing the decision they would make. They had to have, my understanding is they had an understanding regarding this, that this was not a decision made overnight. This was a decision that took a lot of care of the process. And it's not everyone on the team, and not everyone on staff, but have to be informative. We respect this as a sensitive personal issue.
30 seconds.
Thank you. So we try to respect it for the upload sensitivity. We do apologize if we do not sit down here as well. And we just want to say that we do welcome an investigation into our policies. We do welcome any suggestions that you need to do something to have for us. We do not, it is never our intention to be a violation of any code. I just do want to say that even after Cooper had stepped down, he was never discriminated against in terms of hate or anger or anything. He was treated with the utmost level of respect by everyone in our group. And I'm sure that everyone can testify to that fact. If you have any questions, you can feel free, I'm sure, to come up with an investigation if that occurs. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. B.P. Basil. I think that basically I want to echo Representative Kumar's comments. What we've seen today is the difference between removing someone from a leadership position for things like dereliction of duty or something legitimate and removing someone from leadership position for something that they believe in and something that, you know, of who they are. It's university policy not to discriminate based on race, gender, sexual orientation. And it's, you know, United States national law also to follow those rules as well. It's not a matter of, you know, someone assuming a leadership position and then deciding they're no longer interested in the group. It's a matter of someone being discriminated against, albeit, I guess, in a very respectful way, they're no longer wanted, they're no longer desired. So I'm in wholehearted support of this resolution. And I really commend all the sponsors for getting this together. I really think that, obviously the SCSC is following their process, and I'd really like the Assembly to put our support behind them and behind this procedure for, you know, again, not being judge and jury ourselves, but really to initiate a conversation, initiate a process. Where, again, we can really work out the issues between freedom of religion and personal freedoms, which, again, there appears to be some gray area. But here, I think, definitely, in my mind, personal rights have been violated.
30 seconds.
Thank you. That's it.
Representative Andrews.
And I actually want to bring this discussion back to the merits of the resolution. I'm not going to express my personal views on this issue, but I want to say that what the resolution asks for isn't biased. It's not looking to say one person was right, one person was wrong. It's just looking for us as an assembly to aid the SASC, to aid the Inclusion Activities Office, to aid, you know, the university in understanding the issue further, and in understanding what occurred. And how can we, as a community, respond in a respectful manner. So I, for the people who, you know, who are on either side of the issue, I ask you all to read the resolution again and see what is happening. And vote on the merits of the resolution and not on what, you know, on, and not on what your feelings are and what you, you think was right according to your purpose. Okay? And so with that, I'd like to call the question.
I'm going to call the question as a second. Dissent, 30 seconds, explain your dissent.
I think there's people on the speakers list still. There's a number of people in the audience.
Yeah, I will draw my
on. Community member.
Hi. So this is not something I really wanted to speak on, because I care about the both parties involved. But for the sake of academic, religious, and social freedoms on this campus, I feel like I need to share a little bit. As the past essay member just said, I'm not as concerned with the resolution after the last sentence struck. But to share an insight, this regarding the politics, I'm sure will come up again. I think a big thing we're talking about is separation of church and state. And usually when we think of that, we're thinking about how the state can be protected from the church. But what's interesting is the seminal case on this issue, ever since the first Board of Education, is actually meant to protect the church from the state. It's actually regarding the issue of funding. And it's about how, regarding how public funding is allotted and how it's not, and you can't discriminate against schools with religious affiliates, even if it's with public money. So it has to go both ways, that both sides, both parties are protected. I think what we have here is a situation that is not occurring in the classroom, which would be different. It's not something that's occurring regarding what is a legitimate professor or instructor, but rather we're talking about what is going on in the private religious community. And so here are my four concerns. One, I think that the resolution speaking on behalf of freedom is actually inherently imperialistic and overly exclusive. That it is, that legal precedent actually makes this pretty tricky. That there is reasonable grounds for what's happened, and also that there are certain implications that might be unhelpful for the future. So, with regard to the idea of it being imperialistic, I think what we're saying here is that, I mean, I think there's a fear that certain things are not considered legitimate, that there are certain moral and ethical standards that are not allowed to take place. But I think if the university were to say that certain organizations can't get funding because their moral and ethical systems, what we're essentially saying is that only certain moral and ethical systems that we deem appropriate are allowed to receive funding. Which kind of goes to Cornell's charter that even minority opinions are allowed and are allowed to flourish and have discussion. The second one is that legal precedent at a school that receives public funding. I think it's important that there are certain laws regarding this about how we can discriminate on the use of funding and how it's given. I think it puts the SA in a tricky place. The SA has taken some things regarding that. Finally, I think just a point of Cornell's charter is intended to allow minority groups to exist, how they choose leadership.
Time. Representative Dottow. Yeah, you guys can have a minute.
Realistically, I think that those are some great points that we've strongly urged you to bring those up when that investigation is going on. But I think it's important to remember that that's actually not what's occurring here today. To echo Representative Anderson's point, I think that's important to remember.
Yeah, just a quick thing is that this is university policy. As we learned last year with Representative Kuhn, that not all of the United States know carry on with this campus policy. That's something that I would like to say. We yield the rest of the time to Jennifer.
Just to respond to the case, we've had several legal precedents that I would like to assure you that more recently, this precedent, especially coming out of the federal district court in the state of California, actually affirmed the right of schools to require organizations to either admit or to adhere to non-discrimination policies. And so I would like to encourage you, I think, to really consider the fact that we have an investigation and that you specifically will not be dealing with these legal policies, and that's what the university and their council is for.
That's Representative Dyer.
Okay, so I know we talked about this, but I guess I would agree that this isn't in any way us saying that we're against, or whatever, Alpha Pi, views or sentiments or
sorry?
No. Chi Alpha.
I'm sorry, Chi Alpha. And anyway, it's not that you can believe whatever you want, and we have a lot of groups on the campus that do preach things that could be offensive or whatever. It's not about that at all. It's that within all those groups, no matter what they preach, are open for any person to go into it. And it's that this member is in that group, and no matter what is being preached out by that group, within that group, you have to, I think, allow any member of the Cornell community to be involved as long as they go along with what is expected of them in the group. And so I have a question for Chris, and if it's something that is personally don't want to talk about, totally fine, I don't know if it's crossing boundary, but I'm assuming you know what's written in the Bible and understand it, and you think in your leadership position that you, like, your personal beliefs got away and you were preached against that in any way, or do you think that you had your beliefs and you're still a good leader and did what you were supposed to for that group?
I absolutely 100% believe that I was in. I know what God says, and I believe that I am not the religious man, contrary to what Pastor would say. And I think it's also important to point out that within the organization, there are other people who disagree on doctrinal issues in the Bible, and they are not being asked to step down. There are people who believe that homosexuality is wrong, they are not being asked to step down. There are people who believe that all those who live in heaven, they are not being asked to step down. All of which, those views, contradict the overall umbrella of doctrinal belief of Chi Alpha as an organization. Why are those people not being held to the same standard that I'm being held to?
Okay. Representative Brockman.
Wait,
you don't have the floor. Representative Brockman.
Do
you want to go and speak? Go ahead, go ahead.
Okay. What I do, thank you for bringing this forward, especially you, Chris. I mean, I applaud you bringing this to everyone's attention. And I think that this is a simple resolution to saying that, you know, Cornell University has rules that every organization has to follow. And when you break those rules, you get in trouble. And, some other members have talked about how this group was just exercising discretion in choosing their own leaders. But really, they were exercising discrimination. And I wonder if we'd be having the same, discussion if it was a group that said no blacks could join our board or no women. I think that this is very clear cut case, and if kind of the best defense is you just can't act gay, I think that they should be taking my money. So, thank you.
Community member.
I think in our zeal to frame ourselves as open-minded and non-discriminatory individuals, we forget that the university doesn't actually have the right to restrict the religious organization from approving of its leader's moral character. In any organization, you have to be able to approve of what your leader is doing. And child and Christian fellowship have the right to hold their leaders to a specific standard in the same way that any other cohesive organization does. As an OL, for example, I'm not allowed to imbibe alcohol, whether I'm old enough or not, because they want me to be held to that standard so that other students who are coming into the university don't think that that's okay, don't think that certain behaviors are okay, though they're not saying that imbibing alcohol is wrong in and of itself. In my Christian fellowship, there was a leader who was asked to step down because of the indiscretion with a young woman who was having sex with his girlfriend, and he was asked to step down. No one said that this was a civil rights issue. No one suggested an investigation against him because we are allowed to approve of our leaders. We need to be able to approve of our leaders who are going to group. We got to get to university in 2006. They were going to get a president who said school for the deaf. They're going to get a president who was not deaf. The students felt as if they did not want to be led by a president who did not understand their own personal struggle. And so the students protested and they got a new president. And because we should be able to approve of our leaders instead of going to the group, especially since these guidelines were made clear to the students when he joined the group, because this is part of the Constitution of the child, the leaders should be able to ask the student to step down if he is not adhering to the way.
One minute.
University institutional guidelines and regulations spoken of here do not apply to this situation because the student was not asked to leave the fellowship, which he was already testified to. And that would have been morally wrong. It would have been an infringement upon his rights. But he was asked
He was actually in a position of leadership. Because as someone who doesn't agree with a certain position, there's no way that I can teach that. There's no way as part of a specific group, I wouldn't join a group for individuals who believe that eating meat is wrong because I love to eat meat. There's no way that I could be a leader in the vegetarians of America or vegans of America.
30 seconds.
That would be problematic. I believe that this group has not infringed upon his rights specifically, though they would not have had access to leave the fellowship in general. Thank you.
Point of information.
Is intimidation part of university policy? Talking about today.
Repeat the question.
Never mind. I'll have a
job. Thanks. Repeat message.
First, I just. Commend you because I'm sure this is probably something that's difficult for you. So your strength, I think, is an example, that all people should be able to take away when they feel that something has been done that they feel is wrong. I'm a little hesitant to jump on board with this resolution because I think there's, I definitely understand universal policy and the discrimination and all those types of things. The one question that I would like more clarification on still is the doctrine of united religious works and how those apply, and if it is something, if someone were to start doing drugs in this group or involve themselves in alcohol or premarital sex, would the similar situation happen that happened to you, something that they teach is don't do these following things, these are against our teachings, our beliefs. If you do these things, you'll be asked to step down from your leadership position. Would that be the case?
The boundaries are incredibly fluid within Chi Alpha. My sophomore year, when I still thought some sexuality was wrong, I had oral sex with another man on campus. I was still committed to stay on the team because I was sorry. So, as long as you're sorry, you can stay.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
But
there is no, there is a doctor, somebody you find that says that you should not be drinking alcohol, you should not, and you should not have to remember that. But I also have the responsibility of that because once again, I broke that rule and that makes my heart so okay.
Sure. Completely understand those things. I would like to see the assembly take action after the investigation, after we have more information. The SAFC, which is a committee of the assembly, has already started the process of the investigation by suspending their funding for the 10 days, already sparked the student activities office to start that investigation, and I think it's in the best interest of everyone that the assembly wait till that investigation is through, and maybe we can put something through that says, hey, we want the results by this Thursday of an investigation, and then make a decision. But I think to make a decision before we have all of the information, all of the, investigation conclusions wrapped up and things like that, I still am hesitant to support this, and I'm also hesitant to restrict the group's funding when they ask a leader who doesn't align with their organization's values to step down because they no longer align with those values. Those are my points that I'd like to make.
Second down?
Yep.
All right, Ryan stepped down. Next on the speaker's list is Ryan Levin.
I'd like to say firstly that I think this has been a really good discussion and conversation, and I think a lot of issues are being brought up to the table. If I wanted to point out one thing that just keeps kind of keep thinking about, if this gentleman Chris was democratically elected out, no one would be here right now. But the fact of the matter is, and I think why there's some campus attention and campus uproar is that someone was asked to step down because of a specific reason. That specific reason is sexual orientation. It's very blatant. And the groups are, for all intents and purposes, admitting to that. For whatever the reason, if it's because of the belief of it, whatever, comes down to the individual's sexual orientation. And so that is, in my opinion, and I think a lot of this campus's opinion, blatantly discriminatory. Now, there are certainly issues to be sensitive to. This group exists for certain reasons, and like you said, their mission statement is to endorse and follow certain ideals and beliefs, and you don't want to penalize or jeopardize that at all. And so perhaps there's some either loophole or stipulations within the Cornell United Religious
work for the community that this is okay, or maybe this is not discrimination that reaches Cornell University guidelines because it's asking to step down as a leadership and not a membership. But that's what an investigation will determine. The FAC has already decided to suspend the funding and they have that 10-day period. That's done. And so now they will continue with that. Why I think it's necessary for us to pass this and also endorse the FAC, this is now a campus issue. There's a vigil tomorrow night. There was a front cover of the Daily Sun article. There's a lot of campus discussion and uproar. This is now a campus issue. And the student assembly representing the undergraduate community needs to address all campus issues. That's why I think it is very appropriate for us to pass a resolution like this, formally place us in the involvement of this investigation process. The last week, therefore, as our club says, in conjunction with the student assembly and the student activities office, we need to be involved with this because this is a campus issue. And for all the reasons that everyone else brought up, an investigation is necessary. It will happen. And, you know, hopefully this will be all worked out in a way that the group can govern itself in a way that, you know, the campus finds friendly and nothing is deemed discriminatory. And I'm sure that will happen, but not unless we do our due process, support this, and move forward. So I support this resolution wholeheartedly.
You need to be then?
Yeah, so I'm back to being chair. Representative Cusick.
My question for the sponsors of this resolution is kind of working out Maggie's point about the FASC investigation. The FASC, as you guys said, has already announced an investigation starting today. So why did you bring forward this resolution today if there haven't been any conclusive results or anything presented to us? Like, why start now?
The process has been started about 2 weeks ago with discussions about this resolution, about the issues on campus. We had a concerned student come to us and present sort of this issue. So we said, okay, certainly, we'll move ahead and we'll make awareness of it. I believe the FASC, and I don't want to speak for the FASC, they responded once the article was on the front page of the newspaper today, and once a lot of campus students started hearing about, you know, passing vigils tomorrow. So I really think that, you know, when we talk about, oh, they're doing this in the process, but sort of they're doing that in response to sort of the other events that are going on around campus.
Yeah, just kind of building off of that, I kind of want to clarify again what we're trying to do here. Basically, we're just supporting the FASC and doing their job and doing what they need to do. You mentioned about making decisions. There's really no decisions being made. They're all just basically supporting the FASC and following through an investigation. They have already decided to present it. That's a done deal. We're not voting on that. We are voting on just supporting this investigation and kind of keeping up with that policy.
And just really quickly, I think, because as of last night, this resolution is different. We weren't aware about it. We weren't aware about it. We think that's all the problem. We just know that. But it originally had a different purpose. At this point, given those
points,
really, it is important to support that point where it's going to be the problem of the way that there will be the university officers or the commission on the way. Give everyone a chance to speak in more detail about how they feel and where they're coming from. So from that point of view, I would have to see how they have to really make sure that they do.
And that's time, the community member. Could you state your name and year for the record?
Hi, I'm Helen. I just had a few questions. It is an issue of why the person got taken off leadership because of the sexual orientation. But I just want to know, like, you guys have been saying that groups and organizations have a right to complain, you know, that they need to get the right organizations, because in this case, with the Christian Fellowship, we have certain ideas. I have a question of what's the difference for them to take those people out of leadership? And I don't think that just because there's a fine line between discrimination and between, I guess, their discretion on who is in that leadership. If we're allowing them the right to appoint these leaders, why can't we also allow them the right to take out the leaders as they see fit?
I'll let the sponsors answer that.
What a lot of us are talking about in terms of democratic process of moving a leader of an organization would be that everyone in the organization could say, I feel more represented by another individual. I don't necessarily, you know, want that.
That wasn't what happened, so this is the discussion that's going on, and this is what we're having here support. We're asking Ryan really for the best, among other people, but that this is the conversation now. We're asking you to step up and to throw your support behind us. Again, at this point, it is mainly symbolic, but it is something that I think everyone, regardless of how you feel, can welcome that dialogue that happens in the broader sense. So we look at what is the great issue between funding and supporting the university policy, exactly where that line is drawn, and particularly with religious groups. That's what we're asking for you to support.
10 seconds.
I was wondering, with the investigations going on, how is the transparency of that going to be dealt with the community? Because I know that a lot of people want to know what's going on, how you guys are going to deal with issues like this in the future. It seems like there's a lot of analysis dialogue going on, like, oh, we should do this, we should do that, but nothing has been set into this. Don't, but I just wanted to know how the investigation is going to be done and how transparent it's going to be to the community at large.
Like, unless you guys are going to have to be SRC, but I don't see, at least from the student activities office, after speaking with one of the associate deans there, they basically just contacting University Council, contacting Cornell United Religious Works, and seeing if this falls into the category of breaching anti-discriminatory policies, and then now just become public. And we'll probably go through this body, but that will be made public, it won't be a secret. And I'll let Julia add anything from the SAFC perspective.
If the SSA, I think it was the investigation. what the essay and evolution looks like for this resolution gap. You mentioned talking to advisors and the dean and stuff, but would we be contacted? How would that work out with as a fellowship being able to speak?
So you have to have the investigation play out. Well, the student activities office, so to be it therefore resolved, and I'll just read it again. The students have requested that the student activities office, in conjunction with the SA, to investigate Chi Alpha's violation of any university policy.
Okay.
So the SAO would most definitely be contacting the group, contacting Chris, contacting, and working with us, and then their respective departments. So just, I'm sure it would be something along the lines of, hearing from both sides, and then bringing that to the department and seeing if it does breach university policy.
So is it like an open panel kind of thing, or is it just...
That I can't tell you the details. I know Student Activities Office has procedures for this, and I doubt it will be open panels. I don't think it will be that. I think there will be contacts for the group, Chris, and the relevant departments.
Isn't the SAFC investigation going to go on regardless of whether or not...
Well, yes, as we were saying before, one of the, it comes down to the eligibility requirement. So if they're not in good standing with the university, aka they're not registered with the Student Activities Office anymore, then they're not eligible to receive SAFC funding. So the investigations are certainly intertwined. But now, basically, what the last Indefinite Resolve Clause does is say that the Student Assembly is also involved with the Student Activities Office in this investigation. So they say that it will continue, yes, but it's still going to go to the Student Activities Office because it's all about the eligibility requirements, as you were saying before. Thank you very much to the community speaker. See Craig run already. I'm moving on to the second speaker's list unless there's anyone that hasn't spoken yet and would like to on the essay. Okay, moving on, we have Representative Scala.
Yeah, I just wanted to address a few points that DC Miller and others made that students have the right to select their leadership. Now, I think that if Chris was never selected to the leadership team in the first place, then things would have been debatable. But he was asked to step down from the leadership position that he already held because of his sexual orientation, which I believe is clear and unequivocal discrimination. I think that, I think if I was defined to the same position as Chris, and I was informed that, you know what, Chris is going to get it because he's getting it or not, I think that would have been exactly the same issue. I think just as you're asking Chris to conform to your national guidelines, because of your, affiliation with the national umbrella organization, because of whatever benefits or funding you might receive, I think you have to conform to university guidelines, because like I said before, when money comes into it, you have to conform to our guidelines. I think that, you're more than welcome to relinquish, any affiliation you might have to the university. But then you'll need to answer to state and federal law.
VP Miller.
So as Greg alluded to earlier, and Leo alluded to as well, there is a process already here for the permanent revocation of funding from the SAFC handbook. Unfortunately, not everybody has a copy of that. But there is a process in there, and then, of course, as with any committee in the Student Assembly, they have the right to appeal to the Appropriations Committee. They have the right then to appeal to the Student Assembly to tell at the end of the day any investigation conducted by the SAFC. If the appellate process went through the schools, would end up back here after the investigation was concluded.
Yeah.
That's why I don't think we need to up this to the SAO's office. There already is a process in place, but we know exactly how it will work, and then if parties don't agree with what was resolved by the various committees or, one thing, they can't appeal to us. At any time, after the process has gone through to its full consent. So I don't want to up this to the SAO. I mean, that's the distinction here. So it's whether we want to vote to move this to the SAO right now or whether we want to follow out the process already and then let the final appeal come to the SA. I think that we should follow the procedure that's already been established and let this go to the SAFC, then to the Appropriations Committee, and then finally back to the SA if it's so warranted.
The sponsors of the resolution have been minute.
I feel as though the university can take a response. Student activities finance commission, yes, those are the students that are taking the spot that are in charge of the money for the university, in charge of the student activities. I mean,
I believe President Swart sent out an email earlier today about related issues concerning to this. The organization has questions about, you know, how can we ensure that following the right procedures and so forth. I think the university should also step in to ensure that everything is going through to the right department. And that's the best way that we can do that, to ensure that not only are they getting reviewed by the FBI, but also that other university officials can look into this and see are there outcome issues involved, are there other issues involved. So it should have two levels of review.
Seeing no speakers on the community member speaking list, Representative Andrews.
Okay, so again, I just want to reiterate, this here, this resolution doesn't present a bias. The SAFC is going to conduct their review. I think the student assembly needs to, we have to conduct our own review. The SAFC is going to come to a decision. And so, if whatever that decision may be, we need to also know the issues. We need to know two sides of the story. We need to understand the university policy, excuse me. And we cannot allow ourselves to vote on whatever the SAS decides without knowledge of the issues. And so, whether you have, whether you're on one side of the issue or another, especially seeing how we only have a week, we have one more assembly meeting left, we need to act on this in a fashion, efficiently, in a fashion that demonstrates knowledge of the issues.
1 minute.
So, I think that if you want to, when you vote for this resolution, you have to vote not based on your personal feelings, but on your wanting to understand what actually occurred and the university policy. And with that, I'd like to call for it.
Second. So the call question is second.
Point of information.
Point of information.
The student assembly can meet throughout the end of the academic calendar if necessary.
Right.
So next week might not be a meeting.
Theoretically.
How
my plan, though.
Point of information.
Point of information.
What's the plan if this isn't done and members of the assembly do want to address an issue
six,
with the decision?
Six members can call a special meeting.
Yeah, that's before the end of semester, yeah. Otherwise, it just goes to next semester, yeah. I will give the sponsors of the resolution 2 minute closing remarks.
We can make this actually quick. I feel as though that we discussed all the different sides and everyone has their own opinions about the resolution. Thank you all for coming out on both sides. Thank you, Kyle, for coming out. And, you know, we're having a great job to speak up as well as Chris for coming out. I think it was a great discussion. Again, we just want to make sure that university policies are being followed at the university, and I think that's something that we need to ensure continues. So, this is for the resolution, and this is what we're trying to get started.
And if so desired, I would let two more community members speak if they would like. But I think we've had it. Okay. All right, will the clerk please call the roll on Resolution 41.
Yes.
Major?
Yes.
Daniel?
Yes.
Daniel?
Yes.
Gray?
Yes.
Steven?
Pass.
Yes.
Time? Time process, yes. Greenwood?
Yes.
Kumar? Yes.
No.
Miller?
Abstain.
Taylor?
Yes.
Shannon?
Yes.
Smith?
Yes.
Stein?
Stein proxy is an abstention.
Okay, we vote of 13-1-3, the resolution 41 passes. Thank you again to everyone that has contributed to that discussion. Moving on to unfinished business, resolution 37, housing lottery recommendations, Representative Kumar, Cusick, and Rax. Speaker's list is open. There's been a
call for
representative managers.
Call for acclamation.
Call for acclamation.
Second.
Any dissent?
Nope.
Okay.
Way to legislate.
Fastest approval ever.
what time is it?
New business. Approval of the fall 2009 election rules.
Call for acclamation.
Hold on a minute.
You can't vote today.
I move to adjourn this meeting.
There's been a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? Okay. Incoming and outgoing e-board.
Yeah.
Gather.
Dining tickets for anyone who wants.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.